Introduction.
I have often wondered if there would be a zombie outbreak like in the movie I Am Legend, and even though this is not exactly the same, the rise of COVID-19 is the closest thing we know, I think. My wife hates it, the social distancing. I have watched speeches from prominent political figures in the UK, Australia, and other European countries. See what I did there? Ha! All right, I mean Austria and other European countries. And yes, even the almighty United States of America has been brought to its knees by this invisible germ. Not so much fun for extroverts. Luckily, I'm an introvert and I work from home. But for many, the coronavirus quarantine guidelines have caused a loss of income and some serious psychological issues. In this book, we'll go through several aspects that have been reported of the virus. We'll go over some of the rules and guidelines many countries have set, and the reasons why those preventative measures have been imposed on the population. Thanks again for looking at my short read about this topic. I hope you'll enjoy the content. What you should know about the outbreak. COVID-19 continues to change daily life in the United States as SARS-CoV-2, the virus responsible for spreading the illness, sweeps across the nation. The United States announced a national emergency situation in mid-March, and Americans have been adjusting to strict guidelines and requirements instructing them to stay at home, avoid unnecessary travel, and stay 6 feet away from other individuals. In early March, the World Health Organization, WHO, announced COVID-19 a pandemic. A disease pandemic occurring over a wide geographical location and affecting an extremely high percentage of the population. According to the WHO, there are nearly 3 million verified cases of people with COVID-19, and more than 200,000 people have passed away from the disease, a death toll that has far exceeded that of the serious intense breathing syndrome, SARS, epidemic that happened in 2002 and 2003. While some news sources report different numbers, the WHO provides official counts of verified cases once a day. In the U.S., the numbers are increasing as different parts of the country experience differed levels of COVID-19 activity. All 50 states have reported community spread, indicating the source of infection is unidentified, and there have been big clusters in certain areas of the country. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, currently offers a rough image of the pandemic in the USA here, presently putting the total verified and likely cases at more than 980,000, and estimating more than 55,000 deaths. If there are any discrepancies, data provided by state public health departments should be considered the most up-to-date, according to the company. SARS-CoV-2 is a virus that scientists haven't seen before. Like other infections, it is really believed to have started in animals and spread to human beings. Animal-to-person spread was thought after the preliminary pandemic in December among people who had a link to a pretty big seafood and live animal market in Wuhan, China. Researchers and public health authorities are working as quickly as possible to find answers to essential questions about the severity of the illness and its transference. They are investigating treatments and a potential vaccine for the illness. Below is a list of 5 things you should know about the coronavirus pandemic. 1. What we know about COVID-19 is changing rapidly. What we do know about coronaviruses is that they cause breathing system health problems that range from the cold to such possibly deadly diseases as SARS, which killed practically 800 people. COVID-19 is the first pandemic known to be brought on by the development of a new coronavirus. Novel influenza viruses caused 4 pandemics in the last century, which is the reason that the reaction to the new disease is being adjusted from existing guidance developed in anticipation of an influenza pandemic. According to the CDC, reported COVID-19 health problems have ranged from moderate, without any reported symptoms in some cases, to severe, which includes health problems leading to death. People ages 65 and older, those residing in an assisted living home or long-term care center, and people of any ages with underlying health conditions seem to be at higher risk of developing serious disease. However, physicians are still working to develop a complete clinical picture of COVID-19, as evidenced by a CDC report, keeping in mind that 20% of the ones that have been hospitalized for the illness in the USA are more youthful adults, between 20 and 44 years old. I think there are two main questions, says Richard Martinello, MD, a Yale Medicine infectious diseases specialist and medical director of infection prevention at Yale New Sanctuary Health. First, we really need to know how this infection is sent between people so we can be more precise in our efforts to stop its spread. Data is needed not only to better comprehend when those that become ill shed the infection, but also which body fluids contain the virus and how those might contaminate surface areas and even the air surrounding them, says Dr. Martinello. Second, there needs to be a much better comprehension of the pathogenesis of the infection and resulting inflammatory reaction so that knowledge can drive the development of therapeutic and preventative medications. More info is becoming available. The American Academy of Otolaryngology has required adding anosmia, loss of odor, to a list of screening tools for COVID-19. And while evidence is still preliminary, the WHO says it is probing a possible link between the disease and the symptom. In the meantime, a letter to the editor released in the New England Journal of Medicine in mid-March revealed the virus that caused COVID-19 might be steady for several hours in aerosols and for some hours to days on surface areas. Scientists from National Institutes of Health, NIH, CDC, UCLA, and Princeton University, who participated in the analysis, found SARS-CoV-2 was noticeable in aerosols for up to 3 hours, copper up to 4 hours, cardboard up to 24 hours, and plastic and stainless steel up to 2 to 3 days. While there is much to learn, researchers associated with the analysis observed that emerging proof suggests people who are infected may be spreading the infection without acknowledging or just before acknowledging symptoms, according to the NIH. But Yale Medicine Contagious Illnesses professional Jamie Meyer, MD, MS, notes, "A lot of times, people will make standard science observations in the research lab, but it requires time for us to find out how medically pertinent it is. So, we do not yet know what this research study means for transmissibility. Until we understand more about the granular details of how SARS-CoV-2 passes from person to person, public health dictates that people maintain social distancing, wash hands, and regularly disinfect high-touch surface areas. 2. Rigorous measures are critical for slowing the illness. While no one knows for sure how the situation will advance around COVID-19, research studies of influenza have shown that pandemics begin with an investigation stage, followed by recognition, initiation, and acceleration stages, according to the CDC, and that is followed by deceleration, during which there is a decrease in diseases. Finally, there is a preparation phase where the pandemic has subsided and public health authorities keep an eye on infection activity and get ready for possible added waves of infection. Various parts of the country can be in different stages of the pandemic, and the length of each stage can vary, depending in part on the general public health reaction. The USA is currently in a velocity stage when the peak of diseases happens and efforts are targeted at flattening the curve. If you map the number of COVID-19 cases gradually, the expectation is that it will peak eventually. On a graph, this peak would mirror a surge in clients, which could overwhelm medical facilities and healthcare providers. Flattening the curve would mean there would be less patients throughout the period, and medical facilities would be better able to manage the demands of clients who are ill with COVID-19 and other diseases. Standards from the White House call for 30 days to slow the spread, a strategy that has been extended through the month of April that discourages avoiding celebrations of more than 10 people, preserving a social range of at least 6 feet from other individuals, working from home if possible, practicing rigorous personal hygiene, using drive-thru, pickup, or delivery choices rather than eating in restaurants, and keeping your whole family home if somebody tests positive for COVID-19. Many state and local authorities have taken more powerful steps. Connecticut is prohibiting gatherings of groups of more than 5 people and directing people to wear face coverings in public when a 6-foot range is unavoidable, including but not limited to in the work environment, and is extending its guidelines through May 20th. 3. Infection avoidance is crucial. There are many things you can do to secure yourself and the people you engage with. Just like a cold, A flu vaccine will not secure people from developing COVID-19. The very best thing you can do at this moment is take care of yourself the way you would to prevent yourself from getting the influenza, says Yale Medication Contagious Diseases expert Joseph Vinatz, MD. You know you can get the flu when people sneeze and cough on you, or when you touch a doorknob. Washing hands, particularly before eating and touching your face, and after going to the bathroom, and avoiding other individuals who have flu-like symptoms are the best techniques at this point. The CDC also suggests the following preventative actions. Wash hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Dry them thoroughly with an air dryer or clean towel. If soap is not available, use a hand sanitizer with at least 60% alcohol. Stay home if you're sick. Keep away from touching your nose, eyes, and mouth. Use a tissue to cover a cough or sneeze, then dispose of it in the garbage. Use a household wipe or spray to sanitize doorknobs, light switches, desks, keyboards, sinks, toilets, mobile phones, and other things in surface areas that are regularly touched. It may also be essential to develop a family plan of action. You should talk with people who need to be included in your strategy. Strategize ways to care for the ones that might be at greater risk for serious problems. Be familiar with your neighbors, and ensure you and your family have a household plan that includes ways to care for loved ones if they get sick. This consists of planning a way to separate a family member who gets ill from those who are healthy if the need arises. Some cities and states in the USA are needing homeowners to wear masks in certain public places like grocery stores and pharmacies. The CDC recommends that everyone voluntarily wear cloth face masks in public settings where other social distancing measures are difficult to maintain, specifically in regions where there is substantial community-based transmittal. A cloth mask is not meant to secure the user from infection, but to slow the spread of the virus. If people who have the infection and do not know it wear masks, they may not be as likely to transmit it to others. The CDC advises making face coverings in the house from basic materials and booking surgical masks and N95 respirators for healthcare workers and other health first responders. While everyone ought to take safety measures, procedures might be critical for adults over 65 years of age. The risk appears to gradually increase with age starting at age 40, according to the WHO, and those with persistent conditions, such as diabetes, heart disease, and lung disease. Many people in these categories especially should stockpile on family products, groceries, medications, and other supplies in case they really need to stay home for a prolonged period. 4. Specialists are working quickly to find solutions. In the U.S., commonly available screening will be necessary in comprehending how the disease is transferred and the true infection and death rates. Other than COVID-19 screening being done by the CDC, state and local public health labs in all 50 states and the District of Columbia are presently using the CDC's COVID-19 diagnostic tests, although the number of readily available tests is still restricted. Until there can be detailed screening for COVID-19, it is challenging to know how many cases have not been identified. One recent development is the first in-home test for the coronavirus. The nasal swab package, approved by the FDA in mid-April, will be made available to healthcare and emergency workers who have been exposed or have symptoms of the infection before it is released to the public at a later date. In the meantime, scientists are studying the infection carefully. With the new virus in a culture dish, they are looking at the biology and working to make drugs to treat it, says Dr. Vinatz. There is also a great deal of effort underway to examine drugs in development and some medications currently available to determine if they are useful for treating patients contaminated with COVID-19, adds Dr. Martinello. While no pharmaceutical items have yet been revealed to be safe and reliable for COVID-19, certain existing medications have been suggested as possible investigational therapies. A crucial effort is a medical trial evaluating different potential rehabs at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha, the first of which is remdesivir, says Yale Medication Transmittable Disease expert Manisha Jutani, MD. Remdesivir is an antiviral treatment that, according to the National Institutes of Health, was formerly tested in human beings with Ebola virus illness, and has shown promise in animal models for dealing with SARS and Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, MERS, a deadly infection that was initially reported in Saudi Arabia in 2012. In mid-March, the National Institute of Allergic Reaction and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, announced the first testing in human beings of an experimental vaccine called mRNA-1273, developed by NIAID scientists and their collaborators at the biotechnology company Moderna Incorporated. The first trial is testing the vaccine on 45 healthy adult volunteers, ages 18 to 55, over around 6 weeks. However, it could take at the very least a year before all the needed phases of the investigation can be completed to ensure the vaccine is safe and effective enough to make publicly available. 5. If you feel ill, here's what you should do. So far, info shows the severity of COVID-19 infection ranges from extremely moderate, in some cases with no reported signs at all, to extreme, to the point of needing hospitalization. The CDC recently broadened its list of possible signs of COVID-19. The signs can appear anywhere between 2 to 14 days after exposure and may consist of fever, cough, shortness of breath and trouble breathing, chills, repeated shaking with chills, muscle pain, headache, sore throat, new loss of taste or odor. You should call your medical provider for advice if you experience these symptoms, especially if you've been in close contact with an individual known to have COVID-19 or resided in an area with continuous spread of the illness. The CDC has a coronavirus self-checker that may help you figure out whether you should look for help. Many people will have a moderate illness and can recover in the house with treatment. Seek health attention immediately if you happen to be at home and experience emergency indications, and that includes difficulty breathing, relentless strong pain or pressure in the chest, new confusion or ability to excite, or bluish lips or face. This list is not inclusive, so consult your medical company if you notice other concerning symptoms. Clients and members of the community can call the Yale Medicine / Yale New Sanctuary Health Call Center at COVID-19 Hotline of Yale New Haven Health at 203-688-1700, toll free 833-484-1200 if they have questions. Understand the information and resources that are available to you. Threats like COVID-19 can result in the flow of false information, so it is necessary to rely on info only from trustworthy health organizations and federal government sources such as the CDC and the WHO. The Public Health Facilities in the U.S. is a very critical resource for leading the federal, state, and local response, Dr. Martinello says. Yale Medicine doctors are advising anybody who has issues about COVID-19, direct exposure, or signs to call their primary care medical professional for guidelines. Physicians at Yale Medicine and Yale New Sanctuary Health also are encouraging all patients to register for MyChart, a secure online portal that allows patients to manage and receive information about their health, and enables telehealth visits by phone or video, which is how Yale medication experts currently are delivering most care not associated with COVID-19. Taiwan's coronavirus response is among the best globally. On January 25th, as the world was still awakening to the prospective risk of the novel coronavirus spreading out quickly out of central China, two federal governments made a record of 4 new infections within their territory, Australia and Taiwan. Have similar-sized populations of about 24 million people. Both are isles, enabling rigorous controls over who crosses their borders, and both have strong trade and transportation links with mainland China. 10 weeks from that date, however, Australia has practically 5,000 confirmed cases, while Taiwan has less than 400. The question is not what Australia did wrong. 20 nations have more cases than Australia, and 7 have more than 10 times as many. But how Taiwan has kept the virus under control when other parts of the world have not? Hard-learned lessons. Throughout the severe acute breathing syndrome, SARS, pandemic of 2003, Taiwan was amongst the worst-hit territories, in addition to Hong Kong and southern China. More than 150,000 people were quarantined on the island, 180 kilometers, 110 miles, off of China's southeastern coast, and 181 people died. While SARS now fades in comparison,